I believe that is the fastest answer to prayer I've ever witnessed. We prayed for you, and 2 minutes later, you're walking in the door. That's amazing. I know. I couldn't believe it when you said that. I mean, I believe you, but I mean, I thought, did you get to go home first? Okay. That's right. Well, we give God thanks, Rich, that you're here, and that in that week's time that God just has brought you through that. It's just absolutely wonderful. It's just a real blessing. Yeah. You know, there are several stories in the scripture about resurrection, different resurrection stories. I'm wondering if you have a resurrection story that interests you the most or intrigues you, or there's just something about it that you, I don't know, that you're drawn to or you appreciate. Any of the resurrection stories? Mm-hmm. Okay, Lazarus and the people there, the family standing there as Lazarus is raised, John chapter 11. Yeah, it's an amazing, amazing one. Candy? Yeah. Okay, now there's a... Yeah, and then when he was raised from the dead, the Pharisees just want to kill him anyway. It's like, you know, what's that all about? So Candy has a little bit, you know, her heart goes out to Lazarus. And yeah, you know, ultimately, isn't that the truth? Yeah, Jasmine? Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Favorite resurrection story? Yes, sir. Okay, that's a pre-resurrection. I mean, his coming to faith as with. Okay. Yeah, the story of the thief on the cross is one of the greatest stories of faith. To speak to a man who's dying on a cross next to you and to say, remember me when you come in your kingdom, is a pretty strong statement of faith. Yeah, you know, Stan? Yeah, absolutely. That's the chief one. Well, sometimes the obvious answers are okay, though. Yes, Jesse? Okay. Okay, the story of the rich man and Lazarus, Luke 16. It's after death, but not a resurrection. But yeah, it's still a very good account and story. It teaches a very important lesson. Yeah, Rich. Okay. All right, Eutychus, when he falls out, you know. Eutychus fell asleep during the sermon, fell out of the window, and wouldn't you know, on the first day of the week, there's amazing things going on in that story because you have a resurrection on the first day of the week followed by the Lord's Supper. It's just, it's a pretty wonderful moment in the book of Acts that Luke takes us through there. But Eutychus, yeah. You know, the strangest resurrection story for me is in 2 Kings 13, when these people are burying somebody and there's some Moabite raiders coming through, and they don't have time to properly bury him. So Elisha's tomb there, they just throw the dead guy in Elisha's tomb, and when he hits, he jumps up and he's alive. It's just like, whoa, that must have been really strange to, you know, getting buried with Elisha had some powerful things. And one of the, I mean, I don't know, I guess it's kind of hard to have a favorite in a sense, but the story of the raising of the widow of Nain's son in Luke chapter 7. It just, you know, it says, as Jesus approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. You just think about that. This woman loses her only son. Her husband has already passed away, and she's now left alone. It says, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." Yeah. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Jesus' resurrection, of course, though the obvious answer, as Dennis points out, is like no other resurrection, because Jesus is raised because it was impossible for death to hold him. The Hebrew writer talks about the power of his indestructible life. And of course, Jesus is raised, unlike any other, never to die again. And as such, is the first fruits of all those that will be raised by the power of Jesus. There are a lot of scriptures, a lot of songs that deal with the resurrection today. Jared led us in several of them, and we read several passages as well. Tonight, we're going to visit the words of a song that ties in with what we've been talking about today. It's one of the songs about the resurrection that we didn't sing this morning, and Willie is going to lead us in that song in just a few minutes. But as we start out tonight, I'd just like to first to read the words and understand really what the biblical message that the songwriter is pointing us toward. It's the song, "He Lives," page 346. I'd like just first of all, just read the lyrics and then talk about the what this song is all about. The song is definitely, I mean, it's a Bible-based song. It focuses on the accounts of the resurrection. That's, of course, what it springs from. But it's the songwriter's attempt to talk about the meaning of the resurrection. This is what he says. "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good, and kind. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart." Reading over the words of that song, there's three things that kind of stand out to me that the songwriter is trying to impress on us as we sing the song. The first is, and it's the most obvious, I think, about this song, is that the songwriter sees the resurrection of Jesus not just as a past event, but as an ongoing reality in his life. And that comes out throughout every verse. What does he point to? This isn't a quiz or anything, but as you look at the words of the song, what does he point to in his own observations and experiences that convinces him that Jesus is in fact alive and risen? What does he reference in the words of the song? And we'll talk about that just for a moment. Yeah, he said, "I see his hand of mercy. I see the hand of mercy of Jesus at work." Yes, he hears the voice of cheer. Jesus is near when he has need. He speaks of that. Sees Jesus leading through the stormy blast when troubles come to life. He senses the leading of Jesus through that storm. And then, of course, in the refrain, "He walks with me, he talks with me." And then finally, "He lives within my heart." A bit subjective, isn't it? Bit subjective coming from the songwriter in the poem and in the words of the song, but is it too objective, or do you find in your own experience of faith that you share some of those same convictions as the songwriter? Do you sense the living Christ more than just the facts that those things are stated in Scripture? In your observations, in your experience, has the same thing been true? Are there things that you can point to in your own life? Have you seen his hand of mercy? Do you find him near when you're hurting and find him as a living presence that you go to? A bit personal to ask. I don't know. Maybe that's a bit personal to ask. Not much more personal than that. You know, I think that I hope and pray that, each one of us do, that Jesus is near to us, that he is real in our lives. And I think when we, in our own experience and the experience of other people that we know and love in our church family and people we've known through the years, we have watched people, we have seen people rely upon the strength of the living Christ as they faced any number of very difficult situations in life. We have seen that in this family over and over again. People to whom the Lord has been near, he has been real, he has been there, he's been a present help in their time of need, as the psalmist would say, a very present help in our time of trouble. And you know, as we're reading from the scriptures this morning, there is that sense in which we have experienced the resurrection of Jesus in very real ways. Personally, in our own conversion, we read this morning from Romans chapter 6, we were buried with him in baptism. We were raised up with him from baptism, just as Jesus was raised from the grave. Our whole conversion experience is real, and it's powerful to us because in it we encounter the risen Christ. It's not just someone who was back there 2,000 years ago who lived and died, but a Savior who is alive, so that our baptism into Christ is something that's real, something that changes things, and something that impacts our life. And from Colossians 3, we saw how that then continues into our life of transformation. That's why we live new lives. That's why we live a transformed life, because we are risen people. We accept a new way of life, the way of life of the resurrection of Jesus. And in that way, we all do experience and participate in the resurrection in a very personal way. I hope we do also, just in terms of our own Christian experience and life of faith, in the nearness of the Lord and in the very real presence and help that he is in our life. But the songwriter also seems to be interested in speaking to people who may not believe in the resurrection, people who may be skeptics, people who may be doubters. Part of that's, I'll have to admit, from reading about how the song came to be, but you can find it in the lyrics just fleetingly when he says, I know that he's living, whatever men may say. The songwriter is a person who's come across folks who don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And this song essentially is written by him also as a testimony of his faith in the risen Christ, and points the skeptic and the unbeliever to the fact of the resurrection, to say, look, I'm telling you from my understanding of Scripture, from my experience as a Christian, the risen Savior is a reality. And whatever you may think, or however you may doubt or be skeptical about that fact, that is a truth that impacts my life. We saw this morning that that's what the resurrection is for us as well. It's that proclamation that we have. We believe that Jesus is Lord. We confess in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. That's at the very heart and the core of our faith. And it's important for us, just like it obviously was for this songwriter, to realize that communicating that conviction and that Christian experience is an important part of our faith. You know, when we share the faith with people, of course, the heart and soul of it is the Bible, what the Bible teaches, what the Bible expresses and explains as the pathway of faith and salvation. But there's another very important part of sharing of that information with people that is critical, and that is to share and impart our own personal relationship with that truth. Because it's one thing to know what scriptures say, it's another thing, especially if you're grappling with faith, if you're searching, to hear someone else tell you the difference that makes in their life. Don't underestimate the power of our Christian witness to tell people, this is the impact that it makes on my life to know Christ. And we share with them the scriptures, of course, but people want to know, especially people who don't have a background of faith. They want to know, well, what difference does that make in your life? How does that impact you? How is this real in any way? And as Christians, we have that opportunity and that responsibility to make sure that we're able to share the impact that the gospel has made on our lives as well. And then it seems, in the third verse especially, that the songwriter wants to encourage the church to reflect on the power and the reality of the resurrection to the extent that, as he says, we will rejoice. Rejoice, O Christian, that we will lift up our voice, that we will sing hallelujahs to the Lord, that we'll give honor and praise and glory to God because of the power of the resurrection and because of the impact that it makes on our life, because of that peace and assurance that are now ours through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's an interesting, the background of the song is somewhat interesting, and I'll read it to you and then Willie will lead us in the song. Why should I worship a dead Jew? That question in a dreadful sermon inspired this hymn. Alfred Henry Ackley was born in Pennsylvania in 1887. He showed great promise as a child, and his musician father personally tutored him before sending him to New York City to study music. From there, it was on to the Royal Academy of Music in London. Alfred then returned to the States to attend Westminster Seminary in Maryland and began preaching in 1914. After preaching at a church in his home state of Pennsylvania, Alfred went to a congregation in California. It was there in 1932 that Alfred met a Jewish man to whom he began witnessing, but the man resisted the Christian faith, saying, "Why should I worship a dead Jew?" That statement played on Alfred's mind as he prepared his Easter Sunday message. Rising early to prepare for the day, Alfred flipped on the radio as he shaved and was astonished to hear a famous liberal preacher in New York say, "Good morning, it's Easter. You know, folks, it really doesn't make any difference to me if Christ be risen or not. As far as I'm concerned, his body could be as dust in some Palestinian tomb. The main thing is his truth goes marching on." Alfred wanted to fling the radio across the room. "It's a lie," he exclaimed. His wife rushed into the bathroom asking, "Why are you shouting so early in the morning?" But I guess he used to shout later in the day, and she just didn't understand. "Didn't you hear what that good-for-nothing preacher said?" You know, you want to hear how preachers talk about one another? I don't know. There you go. Alfred replied, "That morning, Ackley preached with great vigor on the reality of Christ's resurrection, and he did the same at the evening service. But later that night, he was still exercised over his friend's question and the morning's radio sermon. Listen here, Alfred Ackley," his wife said at last. "It's time you did that which you do best. Why don't you write a song about it? And then maybe you'll feel better." Alfred went to a study, opened the Bible, reread the resurrection account from Mark's gospel, and a thrill went through him, and he began writing the words to "He Lives." A few minutes later, he was at the piano putting it to music, not dreaming it would become one of the church's most triumphant resurrection hymns. It's a song that our brother will lead us in now. Willie, why do you believe in the resurrection? You had to just kind of get it down to something. How would you answer that question? You know, that's a question that could take hours at times to answer. But if you had to give a short answer, why do you believe in the resurrection? Yes, sir. Yeah, and that's the greatest, that's the starting point. Dennis, he seems to be on to the obvious answers, but the good ones, how can I tell you? Those are, well, they're good ones. You know, the witnesses of Scripture, I know to some folks who might be skeptics or doubters, if you take the time and you really do your homework when it comes to the agnostic, maybe atheist, L.A. homicide detective who worked cold cases, who takes those same principles, applies them to the testimony and accounts in the Gospels, and himself becomes a believer. It's kind of like the Lee Strobel story, if you're aware of that one, in The Case for Christ. Just ordered that book, and it sounds like something, I think, very encouraging to read. The accounts, you know, oh, those were believed. They, you know, they just, oh, but you go back and you examine those accounts. You look at the Gospels themselves, and there is such strong, consistent evidence that these are reliable sources. And for us, we believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and that's how you can have such reliable witnesses and such wonderful testimony. Anybody else? Other reasons? The Word of God, the witnesses of Scripture. Anything else that just as you think about the resurrection that comes to your mind? Yes, Jesse. Okay, so going back from even starting, had they produced the corpse of Jesus, it could never be produced because he was risen. The empty tomb, and then you begin to, you know, go from there. The apostles and their eyewitness testimony that ends up bringing about such trouble and pain, and for most of them death, standing up for their convictions that Jesus was raised. You look at the rapid growth of the church in the very place where any proof could have been found had Jesus not been raised, and yet the church grows and flourishes. And in a few pages in the book of Acts, we're at thousands of Jews who had rejected Jesus now believing in him. And certainly the resurrection is what the apostles continue to preach over and over in the early chapters of Acts. You put him to death, God raised him to life. That just is the theme that runs through those early sermons. You know, in kind of a different thing, what we were talking about this morning, the resurrection, it just validates the biblical worldview. Everything prior to the resurrection is pointing to the coming of Christ and his ministry and his resurrection. Everything after the resurrection looks back and finds its power and springs forth from the risen Lord. And there's a sense in which that whole biblical worldview just ties together and makes sense because of the resurrection. And when it comes to the resurrection, of course, there are the experience that we may have, and subjective experience alone can't decide things for us in our Christian faith. But when our experience is affirmed in Scripture, then our experience has validity. When what we experience in the risen Christ, our conversion, our transformation, our life of proclamation, when that's borne out with what the Scripture says and teaches, it gives power even to the experience that we have. To be able to say, as the songwriter did, you ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. I don't need to read it anywhere else. I know it. I know that. And it's not just that experience trumps everything, but when our experience is bearing out the valid witness of Scripture, then that experience definitely has power, and it has for each one of us. And then there are the blessings that are ours because of the resurrection. The blessing personally to know that we will dwell in the presence of the glorious God in heaven forever, that there will be reunion with those that have gone before us, that there will be just that entire experience in the presence of God to glorify him. And then in the present, to have a life that's part of, as we said this morning, part of what God's doing in this world. To realize that God is moving this world toward that end, toward the culmination of all things in Jesus Christ. And our lives have meaning, and we find substance, not in just all the little things that we do in the world that are just a part of daily life, but the very fact that our lives are caught up in something that reaches so far beyond this life and has such power to change and transform people and give them hope. As we said this morning, the resurrection truly does change everything. Today, it's a good day to reflect on that and to remember what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, and to go out this week and to live in the power of our risen Lord. And as we do each time we meet, we extend an invitation tonight to any who may need to come to the Lord, who died for you, who was buried, who was raised on the first day of the week with power, demonstrating that he truly is the Son of God. And if you are ready tonight to make that commitment to be his disciple, to make him Lord, to submit your will and your life to him, we invite you to come and find the forgiveness and the newness and the life that are available in Christ. And any in the family, if there's a struggle tonight, if there's something that's holding you down or something that's hurting in your heart, something that the church can be praying about or that the risen Christ can extend hope to you and to give you hope and life tonight, we just want to pray with you and encourage you in any way. If there are any who need the Lord's help tonight, we invite you as we stand and as we sing.